Good morning. Okay, sounds like half of you are awake. This is okay, I suppose. The rest of you wake up a little bit. It's okay. And let's pray. Lord, we ask that you might speak to us now through your word, that you would open our hearts to hear what you wish to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think a little bit about growing to maturity this morning. And as Helen's already said, this is based upon the motto verse that we have for the year. As she said, hopefully everybody's got one of these. If not, see me and I can find you one. And it's got our motto verse on there for the year, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, because we want to have a focus this year on growing. And this morning, I want to think a little bit about growing to maturity. I quite liked that little image there of the modern man growing to maturity, focused on his smartphone through the whole of his life. And it's a good day to be thinking about growing to maturity as we come... That's a massive cobweb. Sorry. Anyway, it's a good day to be thinking about growing to maturity as we come and we see Diane and Joseph baptized, because they're a good example of that. Not because I'm trying to say that you two have arrived. I think I'd probably quite insult Diane if I said that she was mature. But that actually getting baptized is about saying that you're on a journey. That Diane and Joseph are coming and saying that they've reached a point where they want to publicly declare to you lot and to the world that they want to follow Jesus Christ. But it's exactly that journey of following, of growing and maturing. And we are all still growing. But the truth is, sometimes it can be so easy to stop, to somehow become sort of stunted in our growth, to find it too hard to give up, or perhaps to think that we've arrived, that we don't need to grow anymore. But as we look at this passage, we see that there is a call for us to keep on growing. That God, mercifully, has not finished with us yet. So what does it mean when we talk about growing? What does it mean when we talk about growing to maturity? Well, there's a few bits in this passage that give us a sense of what that's about. It's by no means the whole sum picture of what it means to be mature in Christ that we're going to think about together this morning. But it's a few of the things that I think come out of this passage that show us something of what it means to grow to the fullness in Christ. The first thing that we see is about growing in unity. As we grow to maturity, we grow in unity. The verses that Helen read at the start of the service, from the beginning of chapter 4, we read this, verse 4, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." I'm not sure that Paul could have written something stronger trying to tell people that they were together in this, that they were united in Christ, that they were one in him. Our motto verse, verse 15, talks about growing to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, I think probably a lot of people are a little bit like me in that we're quite individualistic today. And so when I read something like that, I too easily think that it's talking about me, that I need to grow to become mature in Christ. And there's an element of truth in that. But what that verse is actually talking about is talking about the whole church as one body. That the church together is the body of Christ. And that as a whole body, we need to grow together to become mature. There's that sense of unity, even in the maturity he's talking about us growing into. But if he's saying we're united already with one Lord, one faith, one baptism, you're one body, then how is that something that we grow in? Is that something that we just possess already? Well, verse 3 gives us a slightly different picture. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep unity. Actually, Paul reminds us that unity is something that we need to maintain. We may well all know that we're united, that we're one body, but you probably haven't had to be in the church very long to find out that we're also quite good at falling out with each other. That actually, if you've been here for a while, maybe you've recognised some quite significant disagreements within the church. You haven't got to know much of church history to look back over the past 2,000 years of the church and recognise the church over thousands of years has done a pretty good job at falling out with each other. You've only got to look at the number of different denominations and churches around to see we've not done a very good job at maintaining our unity. And actually, it's something that hampers our witness, that actually hampers our witness as God's church. Perhaps you've had the conversation at some point with someone where you've been talking about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be involved in church, and one of the things that people sometimes come up with is, well, I'm not sure I can believe all of this because why are there so many different churches? You say you all believe the same thing, but why are there so many different churches out there? Why is it you seem to be arguing with one another all the time? It's something that hampers our witness. And perhaps even more distressingly, at times as we fall out with one another, as we disagree with one another, it turns people away from the church. There may well be people you know, people you've met, who through the disagreements, the fallout in church life at one time or another, have simply given up on church, don't want to be a part of it anymore, and maybe have even given up on faith itself. And sometimes, you know, I don't really know what to say in response to all of that. Sometimes I think all I can really say is that Christians can be idiots. And that sometimes I stand firmly in that line. And that actually, when we come to talking about unity, it's something that we need to grow in and we need to mature in. We need to grow in Him. Verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. That actually unity is something that we can grow in as we come to know more of the Son of God, to come and know more of what we share. And partly that is head knowledge. Partly that is reading His word and coming to understand more of who He's revealed Himself to us to be. That, of course, as we read His word together, we come to know more of the same God. The same God who is through all and over all and in all. And, of course, as we do that, we come to find we are united. But it's more than just what we know in our heads. This is about growing in faith, too. There's something here too about our heart, about actually recognising the unity that we share. As we come later and we see Diane and Joseph baptised, we hear them make a declaration that actually they recognise they've sinned and they need God's forgiveness. And as they do that personally as a witness to us and to the world, we actually come to a point that so many of us have reached of actually recognising that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that we need His forgiveness. We find ourselves all united at the foot of the cross, recognizing that we come in need of God's forgiveness and mercy. That's not just something that we know in our heads, but something that we need to see with our eyes as we look at one another, that recognition that we all come in the same place with the need of forgiveness and mercy. As we mature, we grow in unity. As we mature, we also find that we have stability. The passage we read earlier kind of talks about it from the other side, what it is like to not be mature. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there on every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Those who mature are no longer tossed about by the storms of this life, but they stand on solid ground. Now, of course, there are aspects in which we should be childlike. Jesus brought a child amongst his disciples and said, unless you become like the least of these, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And we are meant to be like children in our humility, in our innocence, in our capacity for awe and wonder at the majesty of God. So easy for us to become skeptics, to become doubters. But we shouldn't be like children in being like my daughter Isabel, who's two. Isabel seems to possibly be the most fickle child I have ever met. She already had this ability from a very young age, in that she would be crying and screaming about something, and all you had to do was make a funny face, and it would be fine. She would be laughing and happy again, which sometimes is quite convenient. But as she's got older, and she can talk a bit more, and knows even more of her own mind than she did then, this has become somewhat inconvenient. Even yesterday, we were watching television. I know, we're terrible parents. We were letting our children watch TV. And there was Bing on the television. That's a children's TV program for those who don't suffer CBeebies most of their life. We were watching Bing. Well, they were watching Bing, and the rest of us were trying to ignore it. And Isabel suddenly says, "No more Bing." And we say, "Okay, well, what would you like to watch then? Would you like I Can Cook or Teacups or what was the other one? Topsy and Tim?" And it was, "No Topsy, no Teacups, no Cook. Watch Bing." Which, that's not so bad, but it becomes incredibly annoying when it comes to food. "Isabel, would you like some grapes?" "No grapes. Bite Nana." "Okay, you'd like to bite a Nana, okay. You're not allowed to chop it up. She has to have it whole and bite it anyway. Bite Nana." And then you go get a banana, you come back and she says, "No Nana, grapes." "I'll eat the banana then." There is a danger in not growing up and knowing our own mind. There's a danger in not reaching settled convictions, in actually just coming and falling for every new fad or controversy that comes our way. Or when it comes to church life, in just going from place to place where the most exciting thing is going on, where the most trendy or modern thing is. There's a danger in not having that kind of stability, in not growing up. And actually, when we find that kind of stability, when we find that we stand, our life is based on that sort of solid ground, it becomes a witness to those around us. A while ago, I was talking to someone after a funeral, and it's amazing what people will talk to you about after a funeral. And this guy was being pretty honest. He said, "I'm not a Christian, but I recognize that the Christian people I know seem to have this stability in life. They seem to have this calm approach to things that happen. They seem to be able to cope, as though it makes sense of life." And of course, it should do. The God who made us, the God who made the world, who loves us, who has a plan for us, of course, as we come to know more of him, it makes sense of life. We find that we have a sense of stability, that whatever might come our way, when the storms of life come our way, we have something firm and secure. Comes back to what we were looking at months ago as we were looking at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 describes the hope that we have as an anchor for the soul. That we're no longer tossed about on the waves, but we have something firm and secure to hold onto. As we grow to maturity, we find that we have stability. Perhaps we might think that sometimes as people come to believe what they believe and hold firmer convictions, that that might hamper our unity. But even in our motto verse, it highlights how we're to share the things we believe, speaking the truth in love. As we mature, we join the truth with love. Perhaps we've known times when we ourselves, or we've known people who've been more about one or the other. When I was growing up and a member of a youth group, I remember the story of a friend who had gone into school and had said to one of their friends, "You mustn't smoke because otherwise, because you'll go to hell." She had her particular view on what the truth was, and she was just going to go and share it with those around her. Perhaps at other times we have known for ourselves or known others who have been much more focused on love. What we need to do is be nice to people, to show them love, and that's enough. It's been said that truth without love is brutality, that love without truth is hypocrisy. Truth without love is brutality. Love without truth is hypocrisy. And of course, the two really go together. They're connected. Where we find that they cross over for me is the gospel. It's the truth of God's love for us. That God loved us enough to send his Son for us. That Jesus was obedient to the Father, his love for the Father, his mercy on us. He was willing to humble himself, to become a man, to even face death, death on a cross. That Jesus came to be the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say he was a way. He said he was the way. And perhaps that side of the truth is something that's not popular today, for someone to claim that they know the way, the only way. But it is the truth. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." But think about that statement for a moment. If Jesus hadn't come, what would that read if you took Jesus out? No one comes to the Father. Truth and love meet, that God sent his Son. There wasn't another way. There isn't another way. We come to the Father because of God's love shown for us in Jesus Christ. As we mature, we join together the truth with love. And we find that we're more able to disagree and to challenge one another. A little while ago, I was at a minister's meeting. They're always thrilling gatherings. And we got to talking about, somehow we got on to talking about the love that we should have for one another in the church. And that is what holds us together, the love that we have for one another. And the conversation moved on and we got talking about different things. And it was becoming clear that there were a few different perspectives coming out in what was being said. And suddenly, seemingly, one of the ministers just said, "Well, I think that what you're talking about is really important, and I don't agree with you, but I do love you." And we all laughed, because we were a little bit uncomfortable. But he brought out something very true in what he said. That we need to share the truth with one another in a relationship of love. Proverbs chapter 27 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Perhaps what that also says to us is that if you're going to say something that hurts someone, make sure they know that you love them. Actually, when we recognize that our love for one another is greater than the things we disagree over, we're more able to disagree. And of course, to do that, we need to grow in love. We need to grow in the love that we have for one another. But thankfully, God is there to help us with that. He's there to show us what love looks like in what he's done for us. He's there to help us through the help of his Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit is growing in us, is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, but love. He's growing in us. As we grow and mature, we join together the truth with love. As we grow and we mature, we also find that we work together. Verse 16 said, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." I quite like that verse because it gives this kind of sense of movement, of the body growing, of supporting ligaments, supporting one another and holding each other together. Quite often when I read about us being a body, I quite often think of it as quite a static image, as this kind of, well, we're all different parts of a body and it's kind of sort of like an a diagram in biology that, you know, some are over there and some are over here. But this has this real sense of actually being something that changes and grows and develops. And once again, it's about building one another up in love. Love seems to be an important theme through this passage. Love is something that is very important for life itself. Sadly, some here will have first-hand experience, probably through things like fostering and adopting, of what happens to a baby or a young child when love is withdrawn, when they don't receive the kind of care that they should have, when they don't have that love around them, they simply don't grow properly. Their growth becomes stunted. Even physically, they don't mature as they should do. They're not able to fight off infection, more susceptible to disease. And so it is for us as we seek to grow. Isolated, we don't grow properly. We need the support and the love of one another, and we need to be in a place where we're offering that support and that care to others. As we learn together, as we grow, it's both how we grow and a sign of that growth that we're working together. I liked that picture because it's that real sense of people clinging on to one another, that they're held together, that rope between them, that if one stumbles, the others are there to pick them up, to stop them falling. If they went on their own and they stumble, they just fall. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in a place where you don't have meaningful connection with other Christians, to seek that out, to find that in one way or another. As a church here, we have home groups that meet every other week. There's a board in the foyer that talks about them. There's other things that go on during the week. There's CBSI on a Monday morning. There's a couple of prayer meetings that happen through the week. Opportunities to gather together, to find support and to offer that support to others, that we might grow and build one another up. It may be that those kind of things getting together don't work for you because you don't find them helpful or because you just can't commit to a particular time. But there are so many ways now that we can connect with one another. Get together with a couple of other Christians. Form a prayer triplet or a group where you can find and support one another. Get involved in a few other people in serving in some way. A small group of you who are committed to something that you want to serve in this church, in our community. The truth is now we are so much more connected with one another if only we took the opportunities to do it. Perhaps because we like just to live our own individual lives, we don't take the opportunities that are there. But probably the majority of us are sat here this morning with a phone in our pockets. And someone suggested this to me recently. And I thought, why haven't I done that before? That if you want to connect with some other Christians and to support one another, how easy it is now just to send one another a message a day or every couple of days, letting each other know how you're doing, asking for prayer, offering that support to each other. That then when you meet together, even if it's been weeks, that when you meet together, you know what's been going on. You've been praying for each other, and you can pick it up in person and help one another to grow. For some reason, it's a bit difficult and it's a bit uncomfortable to go and say to someone, would you like to do that? Would you like to share together? Would you like to do this Christian life together? But I want to encourage you to seek those people out, to have those conversations. The worst that can happen is they say no, or it doesn't really work, and you've got to find something else. The best that can happen is that we really grow up together. So let's grow up. Let's grow to maturity. There's a whole bunch of things there that we've been thinking of, different ways that we might grow. But perhaps there's one thing that God is speaking to you about this morning, that you need to respond to, that you need to do something about. Whether it's growing in unity, growing and having that stability, that sure and certain ground, growing in truth and love, or working together, finding those meaningful connections. I want to encourage you this morning to follow Diana and Joseph's example of that willingness to stand up and say, I want to move forwards. I want to keep growing. I want to follow Christ. So let's do that together. Let's mature together as the body of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ. Let's pray. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be at work in us by your Spirit, that you would help us to grow, that you would be at work in us as your body, that we might speak the truth to one another in love, and that we might be a body that build one another up. So as we continue in our worship, as we witness and rejoice in what Diane and Joseph are doing, would you meet with us and would you build us, your church? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.